today as we come to the table.
Why do you think you're going to get into heaven? And why should you get in? Let's hear your argument. Well, maybe your argument is, well, Lord, I've been pretty good. Or I went to church all the time. Or my parents knew the Lord and I, whatever. He's going to say, wait a minute. The Bible says it requires blood. So what blood are you applying? Well, I believe Jesus died for my sins. Well, I'm glad you believe that. The Bible says in James, the demons believe as well, but they tremble. See, believing doesn't get you in the kingdom. It's not just believing. It says in the first chapter of John, you have to believe and what? And receive. There's something that happens in the heart. Yeah, you believe, but now you have to take that next step to say, I'm going to receive it for myself.
Have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior? Even the demons know about Christ and believe He's the Son of God. Just believing isn't enough. Many people in our world may attend a church and they generally subscribe to Christian values, but they've never actually made Jesus the Lord of their heart. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will remind us that accepting Jesus as our Savior is crucial. If you neglect that important step, you're choosing an eternal path of destruction and separation from God because of your sin. The pleasures of this life will feel good while they last, but it's not worth eternity. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis chapter 4 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Today, as we said, we look at sin and its consequences. We're going to start in, well, actually, let's just start at the very first of chapter 4, even though we're going to be looking specifically at verses 6 through 16 today. I want to give us a running go so we kind of have the context as we look at this today. But notice what it says in chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, 'I have gotten a man from the Lord.' And then she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, and Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it.' And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' And he said, 'Well, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?' And he said, 'What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth.' And Cain said to the Lord, 'My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you've driven me out this day from the face of the ground, and I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me.' And the Lord said to him, 'Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold.' And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. And then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod in the east of Eden." You know, there comes a time in each of our lives that God confronts us head on about our sin. And that's exactly what we're going to see today in the story of Cain. You know, we all know before the Lord confronts us in our sin that we have sin in our life. You know, I find that when I talk to people about their lives and about, you know, whether or not they know the Lord, I can ask one question that gets answered always yes very quickly, and that is, do you know that you sinned? You know, that's an easy one for us. We can answer real quick, yes, I know that I've sinned. And so, you know, even little kids know that they've done things that are wrong. And of course, the younger they are, the less sin there is to deal with. But we all know that we have sin in our life. And so it's not a matter of not knowing we have sin. If I was to ask you today, do you know that you have sin? Each one of you in here right now would say, yes, I know that I have sin. But here's the question. Has God confronted you on that sin yet? Now, you might say, well, wait a minute, Mark. What do you mean has God confronted me on that sin? God confronts all of us on sin by the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's true. And yes, we feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But there is a special time in each of our lives where God comes to us individually and says, you know what? You've got sin and you need to deal with it. I remember when that happened to me. I remember growing up and knowing I've got sin. I knew that. I knew I'd done things wrong, you know, and I would make my excuses for whatever, you know, the sin was. But God came to me one day and said, not only do you have sin, Mark, but now you've got to deal with that sin. And if you don't deal with that sin, you can't go to heaven. And see, I used to think, well, I'll just be good. I'll be nice. And if I do more good than I do bad, then I'm going to get into heaven. God confronted me one day and said, no, I don't care how much good you've done. If you don't confess and repent and accept the sacrifice that Jesus has done for you personally, you can't get into heaven. And so that was, again, at first an affront to me, but it was God's confront to me, basically just to say, you know what? It's time to deal with it. And so today might be the day that God's going to deal with some of you in your heart. And it may be a day also that God is going to teach you how to deal with others when God is confronting them in their heart to be able to minister to them and lead them to the Lord. Again, I said, we all know that we have sin, but again, there comes that time where God puts his finger right on our heart and says, all right, enough. It's time to deal with it. And that's what we're going to see today when we get with Cain. Now, it's interesting. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, notice the word all there. He doesn't say some have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And sometimes I don't think we realize the seriousness of our sin before God, but we are guilty before God, and we have to someday come to that conclusion and then be confronted by God and then say, all right, what am I going to do about it? Am I just going to go to church and am I going to try to be nice, or am I going to say, I've got to deal with this issue because heaven is coming on really fast? And again, we don't know when our time is. You know, I look at it this way. Even if God gives us 80, 90, 100 years, in light of things, the older we get, that gets shorter and shorter, doesn't it? Have you noticed the older you get, the faster it goes? How many times have we heard Tracy say it again the other day? I cannot believe we're in July. And by the time we figure out we're finally over halfway through the year, it's already Christmas and we're starting another one. And it seems like the calendar is just flying off the pages. Isn't it amazing as a kid, you know, you're like a snail crossing the pages. And as you get older, you think, man, this thing needs to slow down here. It's happening so fast, it's going to be over with before I know it. And so the bottom line is that we have to be confronted on our sin, and we have to realize that God wants to deal with that sin. And there's four things we're going to see today that God used to deal with Cain to let him realize that he had sin in his life. And they're the same things that God confronts us on. The Bible says first that we need to recognize our sin, and that's the first thing that God deals with, recognition of sin. Secondly, we have to relay that to God or confess our sin. Thirdly, we have to repent of our sin. And lastly, we have to receive forgiveness for our sin. I call this the four R's of salvation. And so it's, you know, kind of a maybe it's a catchy way to remember it, but the bottom line is all these things have to be in place in order for us to be saved. And if any of those are not in place, we're in big trouble. I think where a lot of people stop is they stop at the repentance part. You know, they recognize they're a sinner. They confess to God they're a sinner. They ask forgiveness of their sin, but they don't stop sinning. They don't turn from it, and they don't repent. And that's where many of us hit a brick wall when it comes spiritually. You know, it's amazing. I think there's going to be a lot of people that stand before the Lord on that day, and they're going to be expecting to get into heaven. And the Lord's going to say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. It says in Matthew that the Lord's going to say to many who stand before him, depart from me, I never knew you. Why is that? Because I think a lot of them have said prayers. A lot of them have confessed their sin. A lot of them have realized it, maybe even come forward, you know, giving an opportunity. Okay, I'll raise my hand. I'll come forward. But then they go right back and continue living the way they've always lived. And the Bible says if you do that, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's not the prayer that gets you into heaven. It's the prayer plus repentance and receiving Jesus Christ that gets you into heaven. And so I think a lot of people get stuck on that. Now, as we get into this today, we're going to see the four R's again of salvation. But it's interesting, the contrast, because I want you to note this, and maybe some of you have been there, and maybe some of you are there today. There's also four R's of rejection that we're going to see that Cain is confronted with. And each time God gives him an opportunity to deal with sin in his life, he has some reason that he can't deal with it. And so notice what happens here. Again, in verse 6, it says, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And it tells us in verse 5, he was very angry. He was enraged is what the word means. And he says, and why has your countenance fallen? And this brings us to the very first R of salvation and the very first R of rejection. That is, God causes him to recognize his sin. He says, you've got sin in your life, Cain. You're doing this wrong. You're not doing it the way that I prescribed. And so now you need to recognize that you have sin. But notice Cain's response is the R of rejection, rage, anger at God. I recognize that I have sinned, but you know what? I don't like the way God's dealing with it. I want to do things my way and not do things God's way. It's interesting here. It says that he was angry. The word here means furious or incensed, or as I said, to be in a rage. And so he was furious to learn that he had to approach God on God's terms and not his own. Here's what he's mad about. See, remember, Cain came to God and said, here, I'm coming to church. I've brought my offering. Here it is. I laid it on your altar. You've not accepted it. God, the problem's with you. And God says, no, no, Cain. The problem is with you. And you see, it's not me that's got it wrong. I've told you what it takes to approach me, but you're not approaching me the right way. And our application, guys, a lot of people come to God today saying, you know what, I'll go to church, I'll do whatever, I might even read my Bible and pray a little bit, but I'm going to do things my way. You know, we kind of have the whole syndrome of, you know, I'm going to do it, you know, the Burger King, you know, have it my way. You know, I'm not going to have it anybody else's way. And God says, no, it's not going to be your way. It's got to be my way or the highway. Now, not in a rude way. I don't know why way is being said so much, but Jesus is the way, isn't he? And the bottom line is, he says, if you don't come the way that I prescribe, you can't get into the kingdom. It's got to be on God's terms. And this makes a lot of people angry. They get upset when you tell them that there's a definite right and wrong, and they have to make a personal decision. How many times have you shared with people and you said to them, you know what, listen, here's what the Bible says. You've got to repent of your sin. And if you're living this lifestyle, which you seem to think is okay, the Bible says you will not go to heaven. How many times have you seen people get really mad about that? And not only say that's your opinion, but actually get really upset. I remember an episode sitting around with friends and we were sitting there talking and they were saying, well, basically we believe the same thing. And, you know, we have our way to God. We're spiritual people and you're spiritual people. And I said, look, here's the bottom line. Jesus said it's only by him. They said, well, that's your opinion, and we're glad you think that way, because I told them it's only by Jesus or you can't get into the kingdom of heaven. And they said, well, you know, that's how you feel and whatever, et cetera. And it's amazing the rage that's underneath the surface, because it wasn't seen until I said, well, you know what? If you're right and we all get to heaven our own way, then I've got nothing to worry about. I said, but if the Bible's right, and it's only the way that God says, you're in big trouble. I mean, the room exploded. I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting them to go, well, I don't think I agree with that. It was like there were three or four of them. It was like immediately in my face, rah! And I was like, wow, I think we touched it. Did we touch a sensitive area? You know? Because what they realized is it wasn't an issue between my opinion and their opinion. It was God. And God says in his word, you have to do it my way or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. This causes anger. Sometimes it's light anger. Sometimes it's rage. In Cain's case, well, he was raising Cain. He was angry. He had rage, so to speak. And so we have to come to God on his terms. And God obviously knew here again that he was going to be angry. And God knew why he was angry. But notice it said, he says, why is your countenance fallen? He says, why are you angry? God knew why Cain was angry, but this again brings us to the first R of salvation. He wanted Cain to recognize his sin and why he was angry. God knew why he was angry. He didn't want to come to God on God's terms. He wanted to come to God on his terms. He didn't want anybody to tell him what to do. And God says, you need to recognize that, Cain. You need to recognize that it's wrong, and you need to recognize that you need to repent and that there's sin here. So there's a recognition of sin going on that God is dealing with. And throughout the scripture, we see God asking questions of man to make him recognize rather than rationalize his sin. You know, whenever somebody would ask Jesus a question, Jesus would say, you tell me. They'd say, Lord, what do I need to do to be saved? He'd say, you know, you tell me. What are the commandments? And so he'd get them thinking, well, I've got to do this, 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 you know, whatever. And it wasn't a legalistic thing, you know, following the law. It was getting them to realize, am I really living the way God has asked me to live? And if I'm not, do I have something to take care of my sin? What is the sin issue? Again, I remember being in Israel one time and going to the Temple Institute. You know, and you have there was this unsaved rabbi that heads up the Temple Institute, and their whole purpose is to try to bring in the third temple. They want to rebuild the temple there on the Temple Mount. And so again, the issue in Scripture, even in the Old Testament, the Bible says that without blood, you cannot be forgiven. Unless there's blood, there's no forgiveness. Now, in our case, how do we have blood for forgiveness before God? It's the blood of Jesus. When he died for us, he spilled his blood. And so if we take his sacrifice in our place, confess our sin, repent of our sin, apply his blood to us and to our sin, then it's washed away, and now we are clean before God. We're acceptable. Well, they have a problem. You see, they don't have the blood anymore. They don't even have the sacrifices, which at least if they had the sacrifices, they could say, well, we have the sacrifices, so there's the blood, okay? So we ask the question very honestly and very kindly and very gently. Well, it says in Leviticus that there's no forgiveness of sin without blood. What do you guys do about that today? Again, what happened? Rah! I mean, it was like, this guy just unloaded. And so we were like, okay, again, we hit another little area here, I think, maybe. And it wasn't that we're trying to create problems. Matter of fact, I wasn't even really anticipating that response once again. But the bottom line is that when we realize that there's a certain way we have to do it, we have to come through the cross. We have to come through Jesus. The way God lays it out, and there's no other way to do it, we have to first recognize God's plan and recognize our sin and realize that we've got to deal with it. God wanted Cain to recognize his situation. So he starts asking him questions. And see, maybe the Holy Spirit's asking you, yeah, what about you? Why do you think you're going to get into heaven? And why should you get in? Let's hear your argument. Well, maybe your argument is, well, Lord, I've been pretty good. Or I went to church all the time. Or my parents knew the Lord and I, whatever. He's going to say, wait a minute. The Bible says it requires blood. So what blood are you applying? Well, I believe Jesus died for my sins. Well, I'm glad you believe that. The Bible says in James, the demons believe as well, but they tremble. See, believing doesn't get you in the kingdom. It's not just believing. It says in the first chapter of John, you have to believe and what? And receive. There's something that happens in the heart. Yeah, you believe, but now you have to take that next step to say, I'm going to receive it for myself. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I recognize my sin. I ask you to forgive me. And now I apply that blood that is needed to get in heaven. I apply that to myself. And that's when the transaction takes place of real salvation. So first the Lord brings Cain to a place of recognition, if you will, and then he brings him now to the second R of salvation, that is to relay to God, or we would say confess to God our sins. And we'll see in the same midst of it here that Cain comes to the second R of rejection, and that is to, rather than relay or confess it, he rebels against the Lord. Notice what the Lord says to him in verse 7. He says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? In other words, if you do what I've asked as far as what's acceptable to me, will I not be pleased? He says, and if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Wow, what an ominous picture. It gives a picture of sin waiting to just pounce on you and to devour. Again, notice first God says, if you simply do what I've asked you to do, you'll be accepted, but if not, you're going to bring on yourself the consequences. And so God gave Cain a chance to do what was right and to relay to him or to confess to him his sin. And he's doing that right here after he brings recognition of it. And then he gave a warning as to the consequences if he didn't. Now, what's sad is Cain here chose the second R of rejection rather than salvation. He chose to rebel and to receive the consequences. Like, I don't care. I'm not going to do it. The consequences are worth it. You ever thought that before? I remember being, a little brother. I don't know how many of you guys grew up as a little sister or a little brother. But if you're ever going to strike, at the big brother, you got to make sure that you have a plan in place and realize the consequences are worth it. And I had to learn that as a kid. The most of the time, if you're going to hit your brother back, if they beat you, whatever, you realize you're going to get it. And so you got to decide, now, what battles are worth fighting? Is this worth getting killed over? That's kind of the thing that runs through your mind. And I remember one time with one of my older brothers thinking, this one's worth it. This is worth it. And I did it. And of course, he ran me down and just killed me. There was this handprint on my back. I went and looked at this big red handprint where you could whack. You have to decide, is it worth it? It really wasn't. It was foolish. And yet Cain says, it's worth it. I'm so mad. I'm so angry, and this is so unfair. It wasn't unfair at all, and there was no reason for Cain to be mad. It's just his heart was in a wrong place. And now he comes to this same place and says, it's worth it. I'm going to choose to rebel. But if we choose to repent, God is faithful. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But until we confess and repent, God can't forgive us. So the first of many consequences was for Cain here that sin would rule over his life. And that's exactly what we see happen to him. And again, that is a consequence to us. If we rebel against the word of God and we allow sin in our life, it will rule over us. It will take us over. Now, it's interesting here. He says that sin lies at the door. The word lies here is an interesting word. It means to stretch out or lay down as if to simply wait for the right opportunity. Note that. You see, it gives a picture of sin just saying, you know what? Just give me a chance. All I want is a chance. You give me an inch, I'll take a mile. Or someone said to me recently, you know, you give the enemy an inch, you don't make your ruler of your life out of it. Because he moves in and takes over. And that's exactly what sin wants to do. It's a picture of an animal waiting to pounce. It's like, you know what? Right now you've got your guard up, but you give me an opening, I'm in there. See, that's what this means. And it's interesting, the word here again, when it says door, the word door, he's lying at the door, it literally means entrance or opening. And so note this, what he's saying is, it gives us a picture of sin crouching and laying low, simply waiting for an opportunity to pounce and destroy as soon as it has a chance. In other words, if Cain rebelled, sin would find a way in, overtake him, and rule him, and so too with us. If we rebel against the word of God, sin will overtake and rule over us. Again, he says he's lying next to the door for this opening here. Again, I think we need to watch our hearts and guard our hearts. God, do I have any openings in my life? Is there any door that's even slightly cracked? You remember that when you're, and maybe even again, I got all these kid stories or whatever, but you know when you're a kid and you're trying to chase, you know, your brother, or they're chasing you, or you know, they try to go and close the door, and if you can just get your foot in the door before they close it, like, you're in, because now you make sure you have shoes on. That's one you learn pretty quick. But you want to have the shoe on, the door stops, and what happens? Once the door, all it takes is a small opening, the size of a shoe, and then the enemy's in there. And that's all the enemy wants. He wants a foothold. And if he can get his foot in the door, he will get a foothold in your life. Mark, what do you mean? Listen, this is what I'm talking about. Right now, sin is lying at the door for some of you. Right now. You've got a situation going on where sin is lying at the door. Maybe it's a secretary at work. Maybe it's a computer site, you know, something on the internet. Maybe it's a program. You know, whatever the case might be, sin is lying at the door. Maybe a book, maybe a magazine, maybe whatever the case might be. Maybe it's in the thought process right now, and it's just kind of mulling around. You've got to slam that door closed, and God needs you to slam it closed today, or sin's going to overtake you. Because once he gets his foot in the door, that's all he needs, and then he can open it wide up and say, welcome right into my home, because he's going to come in. And so you need to look in your life and say, all right, are there any openings in my life? And if there are any openings, where are those openings? And then once you identify those openings in your life, you've got to close them. And so God was saying to Cain, right here, sin is waiting at the door, and looking for an opening. There's an opening here in your life. This anger, this bitterness, it's a door into you. And if you don't deal with the anger and the bitterness, if you don't stop rebelling and just be obedient to the word of God, it's going to come in and take over. And that's when we lose control of our life and Satan takes our life over. So it's important to make sure that we close all doors to Satan if we want to walk in sin and victory. And again, how do we close those doors? You're saying, all right, how do I close them? Number one is you do away with those things that you know are there. Whatever's causing that door to be open, whatever it might be, get rid of it, okay? And then once you get rid of it, you turn to the Lord and be obedient to his word.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book that covers genealogy, world history, and God's promises. It was written by Moses to those who perhaps needed the reminder of how God came through for his people, no matter what. Do you need this reminder today? We're so glad you decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you're interested, go to thewaymedia.net and scroll to the bottom of the page. You'll notice a link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net. Or you can download these messages too on the Way Media app. Find it at your Apple App Store or Google Play Store. We're about out of time for today's edition, but we want to hear from you. Would you give us a call and let us know what you've been learning from Genesis? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Pastor Mark has more to share with us as we go verse by verse through this book of beginnings. Keep reading, so you'll be ready to dig through Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.